Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
Saints-Rams. Drew Brees, Jared Goff. Columnist, New Orleans Saints reporter for The Athletic, Larry Holder, covers the team, does a terrific job doing that. He joins us now. Where are you right now, Larry Holder?
I am currently in my carport in the in Algiers, which is the West Bank portion of New Orleans. And yet I have seen downtown already today, and it's just like the game's already started, as in like it's party time, USA, Mardi Gras, you name it. Except it's not, purple, green, and gold like Mardi Gras. It's definitely black and gold everywhere. It's ridiculous.
You also cover LSU. What's the difference or the crossover in the fan bases for the LSU program and the Saints fan base?
Well, it's certainly, you talk about college atmospheres, and I feel like there's probably only a handful of college atmospheres that the NFL can actually claim, and I think the Saints are one of them. And, New Orleans is a huge LSU base. Heck, I'm an LSU alum, so it's there's certainly some crossover. And there's some bitterness, like say from Baton Rouge, they'll be like, we're not dealing with the Saints. But no, when it gets to this time of the year, basically everyone in this region is ready for Saints and what they have going on down here.
The midpoint of the year, everybody was looking at the Rams and the Chiefs and saying this could be the Super Bowl. How did that fly with the Saints and the Saints fans? It's as good as they were playing that a lot of people were looking at the Rams early as the team to beat.
Well, they didn't lose a game, so that's to be expected. I mean, the Saints, they were rolling once they got up to that Rams game in Week 9, but they lost the game. So I don't think that they took that as some spite, and especially the fact that there was expectations for the Rams. You know, they were good last year, and there are certainly expectations for the Saints. And so I don't think anyone really took that as some sort of slight. Now, that altered a good bit once the Saints beat the Rams. And I do feel like, though, now that we're approaching this NFC title game and there is a bigger perception that the Rams are better than the Saints at this point, of the season, I do feel like that this area is kind of taking some exception to that. And look, the Saints, their number one seed, home field advantage throughout the playoffs. The last time they did this was a decade ago. They won the NFC title game and won it all. And so I feel like that is the expectation now, that if they don't get to the Super Bowl, that there will be some disappointment here in New Orleans.
Larry Holder with us, columnist for The Athletic, covers the Saints and LSU. Drew Brees against Goff, I mean, that feels like Brees is at home. Brees is more experienced. If anybody's going to make a big mistake in this game, it's Goff. How good has Brees been this year compared to maybe the last couple years?
Well, throughout, say, the first 10 games of the season, he was the league's MVP. And that was known nationally. And so he's kind of fallen back probably the last, I'd say, five games that he played, and that's why I feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to be the MVP. Drew Brees will likely finish second. But at least, for the fact that Drew Brees turned 40 a couple of days ago, he's still playing as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, does he feel like, and do the Saints call plays like he's got to be Superman, like in plenty of years in the past? No. And look, he did not hit the 4,000-yard mark this year, and that's the first time in a long, 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 long time that he has not done that. But he's still the most accurate passer in the NFL. And I just go look at the game against the Eagles. Yeah, he made an underthrow on a deep ball, his first throw, and it was an interception. But you look at when it's third and long, he got it done all day. And for Saints fans and for the rest of the NFL, I mean, that's what still Drew Brees is. I mean, he is still capable of doing that and still one of the best passers in the league.
Larry, the Saints defense doesn't get a lot of talk outside of probably New Orleans, but I feel like that area of that team is the reason they're in this title game. I mean, is that an overstatement?
No, it's not. Especially probably let's leave the Eagles game week 11. Saints won 48-7. And the Saints defense was playing better leading up to that. And then after that game, the Saints offense started struggling, and the defense is what kept them and or won them games in that point. And so that's certainly something that the Saints are going to be kind of leaning on. And yet, big loss during the Eagles game. They lost Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle, who is one of their best defensive players this year. And you lose him, and all of a sudden, the Rams don't just have Todd Gurley. C.J. Anderson starting to run the ball very well, and people are leery down here wondering, all right, or how is this going to affect the Saints defense? But I do feel like that if I would say look at the Rams defense overall and the Saints defense overall, like Aaron Donald's Aaron Donald, but I still think even without Rankins, I would give a slight overall edge to the Saints as far as defense versus defense.
Is there an area of concern where you look and you go, okay, if the Rams are going to have success, this is what's going on in the game. Is there an area that the Saints are concerned about?
I'm looking squarely at left guard Andres Pete. And it's not just O-line versus D-line. I'm squarely looking at their left guard Andres Pete, who he injured his hand in week 17, had to leave the game. Obviously had 2 weeks, but still he came back. And he struggled against Fletcher Cox. And not only just struggled just against him, but had 4 penalties, 2 false starts, 2 holdings. And Fletcher Cox is very good, yet Aaron Donald is on another level. So I think you circle that, whether it's Donald or Ndamukong Suh, someone is going to be going heads up against Andres Pete. And I think that is something that people should circle and keep an eye on, because if they're able to disrupt in that area, it slows down the run. It clogs up the pocket for Drew Brees. He is a guy who is certainly not one to really want to move the pocket and roll out and this, that, the other. That's never been his thing. So that will be a huge factor in how the Saints offense performs.
We're talking to Larry Holder, columnist at The Athletic, covers the Saints. Sean Payton, people may remember him winning the Super Bowl. Go that 13-3 season, they go and they win the Super Bowl. They may also remember Bountygate and him being suspended for a year. How did he come out of that? Is that all behind him? When I bring those two things up, they're like bookends for him.
I don't think he's ever going to be totally behind him. I mean, you lose $6 million in salary, it's probably not going to be behind you fully for your entire life. And he still feels like the NFL was probably too harsh. Personally, you know, like I covered that as a beat reporter at the Times-Picayune, and that was insanity. And there's a reason I feel like Paul Tagliabue, at least on the players' end, vacated the suspensions because of the players, because he didn't trust what either side was saying.
Yeah.
But as far as how did they come out from that, first season, 2013, he was able to rebound, but then he went 7-9, 7-9, 7-9. And all the flirtations of Sean Payton possibly leaving the Saints, that was all real. All of that was real. If the Saints, if the Rams and Saints had more time for Sean Payton to get to know the Rams, he might actually be the head coach and not Sean McVay. So that was real, too. And yet, 2017 was a critical year. If that year did not go as planned, as it did, where the Saints rebound, young players, this, that, and the other, get to an NFC division round. If that goes 7-9 to miss the playoffs again, Sean Payton could have been gone. Drew Brees could have been gone. So It's taken some time to rebound from that. Now you look at it and you almost look back and think, man, that really actually even happened, because this team is really good on a whole bunch of fronts, including, of course, the head coach.
You've been so good on the Saints. I got to ask you a Saints question, because Brandon Cooks left Oregon State. He gets drafted by the Saints. He ends up, eventually with the Patriots, and now with the Rams. There's an opportunity here for Cooks to come back in. Do you ever know what happened with the Saints? Did they just say, hey, we can get value for him, or was he not a great fit?
He was a great fit. He whined and complained after not getting touches after the Saints blew out the Rams a few years ago. And that was probably one of the tipping points to saying, hey, let's see what we can do without you. And, of course, they knew they had value there with him. And they were only going to pay one wide receiver. And they brought in Michael Thomas, and he was spectacular. That year was Cooks' second year, Michael Thomas' first year. Well, it was Cooks' third year, and Michael Thomas' first year. And they knew at some point they were only going to pay one guy. And that guy's going to be Michael Thomas. And obviously we can see that move actually paid off. But I think that, they saw he was a little bit disheveled. I mean, it's not like he quit working hard. That's the thing. Like, there's a perception that he was like this turd.
Yeah.
And that's not true. Now, was he bitter about some things? Yes. But did he slack off? No, he did not do that. But he knew, I think, in his head, after that, and as you're going and you're seeing Michael Thomas develop, that he was not going to be the guy. And so things happen. They get good value. And like the Saints ended up getting the 32nd pick in the draft that year, and they ended up with Ryan Ramczyk, and he's one of the best tackles of the league. And it was just totally luck of the draw, because they actually wanted Reuben Foster there, and the 49ers picked Reuben Foster the pick before. So imagine how that would have blown up if the Saints would have picked Reuben Foster instead of just boring old Ryan Ramczyk, and now he's one of the best right tackles in the NFL.
Is Cooks back in that building a story, or is that just kind of on the peripheral of this game?
Peripheral. I mean, because he came back last year with the Patriots. So it's really not a deal. Now, I went and did a mea culpa because I ripped the Saints for the trade. I didn't think they got enough value for him then, and I came back this past year when he came back, and I was like, I think the Saints did the right thing and got the proper value, so I basically had to throw egg in my own face. But you don't hear that at the time. You're like, who's Ryan Ramczyk? And at that time, he wasn't even supposed to start. Zach Streif was playing well. Now Zach Streif is the radio play-by-play guy for the Saints, and Ryan Ramczyk is a second-year starter and a stud for the Saints. So it's crazy how things happen in the NFL sometimes.
I feel like I feel really good about my pick in this game. I like the Saints. I think they win it. Going away, I think Goff makes some mistakes. Am I crazy for being out on that limb?
I don't think you're crazy for being out on that limb. I went Saints 30-27, and yet I don't feel great about it. I just think that if the Saints basically do a bunch of self-inflicted wounds like they did last week against the Eagles, that they're not going to get away with that this time. And maybe it's just typical Saints angst. It's not like they've been this great franchise for forever, and maybe that's on my head. I feel like the Saints are the better overall team. They beat them here in this building. They've won in so many different ways, whether it's close games, blowouts, anywhere in between, that they're battle-tested. And, they have the home field advantage. But I'm with you that I feel like this moment might be too big for Goff. And it's not like Goff has played great down the stretch. I talked about how Drew Brees wasn't great down the stretch. Goff was much worse.
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to say, all right, we could talk about corner versus receiver, O-line, D-line, this, that, and the other. Ultimately, it comes down to the most important position in sports. I'm going to take Brees over Goff.
Larry Holder with us, columnist for The Athletic, covers the Saints, LSU as well. What's the plan after Drew Brees? Do the Saints have an idea what direction they want to go?
Well, they brought in Teddy Bridgewater this year. They traded a third-round pick to get Teddy Bridgewater. And Teddy Bridgewater is not under contract after this year. I feel like maybe that could have been a guy they looked at, but I don't think Teddy's going to stick around. It's almost like they spent a third-round pick to bring in their own Foles as insurance because they knew that their team was so good. And so I don't think Teddy's going to stick around and wait around for Drew. Would he be a great fit in New Orleans? I think absolutely. But I think they're just going, all right, let's ride this thing out. Whatever happens after that, we'll just have to rebuild with a quarterback. I mean, team's too good. They're probably not totally in this, let's think about what's going on after Drew. And I'd say, heck, the Patriots are probably in that same boat. They thought, you know, Garoppolo would be there, and he's gone, and they're just riding the lightning. Saints are in the same mode.
I kind of feel like Breeze has, what, one more after this on his contract?
He has one more after this on his contract, and yet the Saints are – they're going to let Drew do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they're more a franchise that would be way more inclined to even do that than a lot of other franchises in the NFL. And as long as Drew wants to go, Drew's going to want to go. And so, yeah, it's but he's got one more after this. I suspect next year might be it. And people ask me, all right, if he wins this year, is he going to call it a day? No way. He's going to want to keep going. And I think he wants to outlast Tom Brady. So that's part of it too, but he's never going to admit that. But yeah, it's Drew feels like he's still in tip-top shape, and it's hard for me to really argue with that right now.
I covered him as a beat reporter when he was at Purdue, and his sophomore year, I was there, and he was really good. He threw 39 touchdown passes. He had about 4,000 yards. He was great, but I didn't have this sense that he was going to go on to be Drew Brees. What do you think makes him? Like, what is the difference between Breeze and the guy who doesn't make it?
I think he's smarter than everybody. I really do. I think he's smarter than the opposing head coach. I think he's smarter than the defensive coordinator. I think he's smarter than defensive players. I think he knows what's coming, and yet, you know, of course he's not this physical monster, but I think he knows what's coming before it's coming, and I feel like that's part of it. Do I feel like he's gotten to where he's kind of like Brady, where he's got his workout regimen and this and that? You know, you can last longer in this league, sure. But and is he a very good athlete? Yeah, I think that kind of goes underrated sometimes. But I just feel like he's smarter and has enough physical skills that he can basically mentally outduel you and put the ball. His accuracy is uncanny, too. It's not like he's got to have this bullet for an arm. His accuracy is insane. The fact that this year was the most accurate year in the NFL history, and this is probably like the third or fourth time that Drew Brees has broken that record, which he held probably two of those times, it's really remarkable.
Larry Holder, The Athletic. Larry, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for so much time.
Yeah, you got it. All good, John.
All right. There he is. Does a great job covering that team. So much to talk about in this matchup. Who are your picks? I'm on record. I like the Saints. I like the Patriots. You're going to have to pick your AFC champion and your NFC champion. I want you to tell me who's going to the Super Bowl and why. We're going to kick it around. 503-417-7575 is the number. Wherever you're listening to the show, if you're listening to Fox Sports Eugene, 95.7 FM, I want you to call us and let us know what you think in the Eugene area. If you're in Klamath Falls listening to this, check in and talk to us. If you're listening on the web or on the app, you can do that. And, of course, everywhere between Eugene and Vancouver, Washington, you can call as well at 503-417-7575. Give me your AFC and NFC champion next. Give me your picks. Who do you like in the AFC and NFC championship games? Also, I want to play a game here. Who deserves to be in this Super Bowl if we're taking away the element of who are the cheaters? I saw a ranking recently of the teams that are perceived in professional sports to be cheaters. And the Patriots rank high on this list. They are perceived with Spygate and Deflategate as being an organization that will paint outside the lines in the name of winning. They've got renegade players. They've got Aaron Hernandez in their rearview mirror. And certainly the perception of Bill Belichick, Tom Brady is, you know, they win. But if we're talking about the Rams, the Saints, the Patriots, and the Chiefs, I would have a hard time believing if, like, we're putting together the Altruism Bowl instead of the Super Bowl, I would have a hard time seeing the Patriots and the Saints getting there. And yet, those are the two teams that I picked. 503-417-7575. Of the four teams left, which team, if we're basing this simply on altruism, public perception, which team deserves the sentimental vote? Would it be Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Andy Reid sort of cast away in Philadelphia, reinvents himself in Kansas City, Mahomes comes out of seemingly nowhere a year after sitting and leads the Chiefs, who, by the way, kicked their running back to the curb the minute that the NFL said this guy's under investigation? Would it be the Chiefs or would it be the Rams? Jared Goff, Sean McVay, he's got a baby face. I mean, he looks like he's 18 years old. And Goff looks like he's 14. Would you go with the Rams as the sentimental pick to win it all? Because Sean Payton, he had, you know, Bounty Gate. The NFL suspended him for a year. And you know what he did in the year he was suspended? He got divorced. And then he coached his son's Pee Wee League team. And he used the Saints playbook in scouting services to win a championship with his son's Pee Wee League team, Pop Warner team. People were like, okay, that's going too far. And he was like, what am I supposed to do? I'm taking a year off. Who wins the Altruism Bowl? 503-417-7575. Give me, like, which of these teams is easiest to root for? Because I'm conflicted, because I like Drew Brees a lot. I covered him in college. He was a sophomore at Purdue. He was just a young kid. His whole career was in front of him. I never imagined he'd be this good. But he's with the Saints.
It's easy for me. I want Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. I like Andy Reid. You know, sentimental, perfect. If that's the question you're asking me, I'm rooting for Kansas City. And I want Andy Reid to win. I could care less about... Sorry, Patrick Mahomes is a great player. He could be a great player.
Okay.
He looks like he could be, but I like Andy Reid.
Why Andy Reid? Because he doesn't look like a guy who's very athletic. Like, you think that guy's a football coach?
He's got a past, you know, what happened to his son and all that kind of stuff during the time he's playing. You know, I just have a soft spot for him, and I think he's a good coach. You hear nothing but great things by players that he's coached. Nothing but.
There's also another question I want to throw out there, too, because... you tell me, who is your sentimental pick to win the Super Bowl? I've asked you who you think will win the Super Bowl. 503-417-7575. I want you to weigh in on that. I also want to ask, like, which of these four teams, should they lose this weekend, is least likely to be back next year? Because you always see that. You see a team like the Falcons, you know, they got to the Super Bowl. They have that classic meltdown, and they disappear. The Panthers get to the Super Bowl with Cam Newton. He walks out of the news conference, and we'll be back next year. Nope, not back next year. Which of these four teams has that fade to them where, like, hey, if they don't get it, the window closes on them? Because I don't think it's the Patriots, because I think the Patriots just come right back, and they're the Patriots.
You can't root against the Patriots. That's the thing, is I can't do that. I think Kansas City comes back. I think it's the Rams. I was going to go with the Rams. I think it's between the Rams and the Saints for me, and I would probably lean towards the Rams.
I don't think, of the four teams that are there, I think the Rams are the least likely to win the Super Bowl this year. I also think they're the most likely to not be back next year. I think the way they're built, with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, and they've got Tlaib. They're built for right now, but they're not good enough right now. I don't think they're good enough right now to win it. And I think if they don't get there, they're going to have similar problems to what the Falcons had, where guys start looking and saying, hey, what about my money? While I think Goff is good enough to win games, I don't think Goff is a guy that we're going to see winning a Super Bowl. I don't think he has that leadership to him yet. Maybe he gets it. I don't see it. I see that's a guy who could win 10 games in a season, 11 games, but I don't think he'd win a Super Bowl.
Now it seems like the formula is to just to build that defense or pay the big money, and unless you have an A-list quarterback, which you can't put Goff in that category yet, is, yeah, they're built for right now, and then they're probably going to throw, if he does well, he did well this year, if they do come back or even hit 500, they're probably going to give him that long-term big contract.
It's a mistake.
It probably is, because I agree with you. I think he shows you talked about Drew Brees' intelligence. He shows that he does some really dumb things in the pocket.
And I don't think you need, like, look last year, Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't think you need, and Trent Dilfer's won a Super Bowl, but I don't think you need that to win the Super Bowl, that position, to be like a veteran guy who gets it, but he's got to be good enough. He's got to be a decision maker.
I think he's got to be smart. I think he doesn't have to be the most athletic, the greatest quarterback on the planet, but he's got to know when he throws the ball away. He's got to know when to take a sack and not throw an interception. There's so many things. Goff doesn't do that right now, and I think that they say managing a game, well, if it was so easy to manage a game, then every quarterback would do it. There'd be a lot more guys that would be on top of that list. And you mentioned Dilfer, you mentioned Foles. They're smart. I think it takes a smart guy to get up there and play and make it to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl.
You look at the Super Bowl champions in recent years. You've got the Eagles with Foles. You've got New England in overtime with Brady over the Falcons 2 years ago. Then you go to Peyton Manning and the Broncos over the Panthers, and Panthers disappear. And then you got the Seahawks, who probably should have handed the ball to Marshawn Lynch and just been done with it. Instead, they give one away. And then the year before, it is the Seahawks with Russell Wilson. And then you go to the 49ers losing to the Ravens and Joe Flacco. I mean, Joe Flacco had that. He was missing that leadership gene. Like, really good quarterback, really, he's got some talent. You look at him, I mean, he's a guy today that can't even start, right? I mean, lost his job.
Wasn't he a guy that you looked at, though, especially after the Super Bowl? You didn't sit there and went, he's a really smart quarterback. He had the tools, he had the arm. We knew he had the arm.
Yeah, defense and a run game.
Yeah, and, but I think you hit it. Didn't have that it factor. I never thought Flacco was going to be back to the Super Bowl because of him. And they gave him that contract, and that was big mistake.
But there have been quarterbacks historically, like Trent Dilfer, Jeff Hostetler, mm-hmm. Even Jim McMahon with the Bears. There have been quarterbacks historically who are game managers whose job it is to come in and make a few plays. But you don't necessarily look at those guys and go, hey, if you give them the ball back with 2 minutes, they're going to beat me. And I put Joe Flacco in that in that group. I look at the four quarterbacks who are playing right now. If you give Tom Brady or Drew Brees the ball in 2 minutes, you're losing.
Yes.
I don't care where it is on the field.
I agree with you 100% on that. If this game, either one of these games, both of them come down to that, they're toast. It's going to go with New England and New Orleans.
Because I even don't trust Patrick Mahomes in that situation.
Yeah, I don't
because
either.
I think he's going to make a mistake. I think he's going to play a good game. He's going to have numbers. Like, I would not be surprised to see Mahomes at 300-plus yards, three touchdowns. But I also think he's going to throw an interception or two.
Force the ball.
Yeah, and I think that's where the Patriots will win this game. And again, if you say you're going to give Jared Goff the ball in 2 minutes, that doesn't put the fear in me. Like, if I'm the opposing fan base, I'm not afraid of that. 503-417-7575.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.